Thank you.
Okay, first item, approval of agenda.
Second.
I have a motion by Forrester, second by
Peters.
Peters.
It's going to be a long
favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next item, public matters not on the agenda, discussion items only. Anyone discuss something, please come forward. We have a 5-minute limit.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. A couple folks would like to speak to you regarding some California Air Resources Board regulations and impacts here locally.
Hello, I'm Bob. I wonder if there's some funding to help replace some of the equipment that doesn't qualify for the air or so. I was wondering if there's an agriculture or forestry, is there any money to replace or help replace some of the equipment?
Maybe Jim can talk that. I think there's like, what, the farmer program. There's been some state programs, but not near enough for what's out there.
And Mr. Fine's referencing the truck and bus regulation. And that's for vehicles over 14,001 pounds gross vehicle weight. That's your vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the grinder. Okay. I thought you were here on the truck. Okay. The grinder, well, we'll have to see what you have and take a look at it. And there is a farmer grant through the state. Have you looked into the farmer grant?
Not yet. We have.
You have looked into it? Okay. And was that an option for you?
It could be an option.
Could be an option for you. Okay. I'm going to actually be meeting with a state representative next week, and she's with the CAPCOA organization, which is the Air Pollution Control Officers organization, and they are kind of the lead on the farmer grant program. So I can get your information and then we can follow up.
Okay.
Okay.
Collins, I've worked with Bob for the last 17 years. A lot of you know what he does. He runs a remote control brush grinder that he created, the first in the nation, and still the only one in California, but it's old and it's antiquated and it needs to be replaced. He's trying to keep his prices as low as possible for the elderly that are being stuck with all this dead and dying debris in their yards. And any help that he could get to replace this piece of equipment would be greatly appreciated. And he's going to need support from this board probably to make it happen. But yes, we've looked into it. And, you know, he was the first to ever bring this mastication machine to our county and to this state. And for a long time, he was the only one. And now there's lots of them. There's lots of competition out there. But he still tries to keep his prices as low as possible for the elderly. So things to think about. That's all I have.
I'll say this. The whole CARB program, I think, has been a real boondoggle. I mean, maybe the concept in some areas might be workable, but... You know, if you want to drive in a railroad spike with a sledgehammer, that may work. But when you got a tack you want to put in your wife's kitchen wall, that may not work. And we're kind of using it on our tacks and kitchen walls. It's caused a lot of people a lot of financial hardship, especially small businesses in the state. Kind of gets it a little bit, but it's they're putting a Band-Aid over gangrene, and it's a real problem. And a lot of public, why is the cost of everything going up? Well, everything is shipped. Heavy equipment, heavy trucks, either ship it or make it, and a lot of people out of business. It's not good, but it's the state is bound and determined they're going to do it hell or high water, and happy about it. But that farmer program might maybe work, but there's only so much funds there too, so.
Hey, one thing I've been running into a lot lately in the upper country is people are losing their parents.
Well, it's a big problem.
I work for a couple. He's 95 and she's 90. Drive. They're on a fixed income, you know, so I try to help them out as much as I can, but I'm just, every day I'm getting phone calls about people losing their homeowner's insurance and... That's a whole other subject, but it's hard for me to see all these people have mortgages and they can't find insurance.
It's a huge problem and it's growing. It's getting bigger and... So far, there doesn't seem to be a good answer in sight, Bob.
I kind of figured that.
I think the you originally made some contact through Capcoa and maybe talked to Josh or Rachel.
Rachel.
And so I'm thinking there may have been, there's been some staffing changeover up there, and there may have been someone there, and then they're gone, and someone else came in. So there may have been... something that kind of got dropped on this. I will make sure that it gets picked up again and we at least take a good look at it and see what options we have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me give you my card before you go. Just I'm out of cards. I'm going to have to get you one. I'll call you, okay? 295-18. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Public matters not on the agenda?
Hi, my name's Gail Getz, and I've got a letter like for the Board of Supervisors that I guess I'll just mail one to each of you. Are you the Board of Supervisors, or is this Air Quality Division?
Air District Board of Directors.
So you're both.
Well, this is the Amador Air District. There are five supervisors here, but this is not the right body to speak to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, I think I'm going to start out with the Air Quality District first. I had spoke with Matt Peterson several times, like throughout the years, about these pine needle bins. I'm seeing on this agenda where it says smoke reduction bin program pine needles for APCO's update, no action to be taken, informational only. I don't know why it's so classified, but in June, on the 15th, you had a free dump day at the Pine Grove dump for pine needles and yard waste. I found out about 2 days beforehand. I'm a disabled veteran. I had to hire a guy to come help me clean my yard up so we could get it done. I don't burn. I've got a pyromaniac neighbor that burns with me and Zanita about 8 feet from the fence. And after having my house burned down in March of 09, I don't like standing there burning piles by myself. I've got heart issues, breathing problems, and the last thing I want is smoke. So these bins that we used to have, Matt told me last week, I think it was Thursday, he said that, yes, we're going to have the pine cone collection at the Pine Grove dump this last Saturday. So, again, other than paying $200 in June, I paid another $200 this last week because I had 2 days' notice and I wanted to get it done. There's no bins available, and I'm wondering why. Why can't we have, like, if we can't have the bins because there's no money, because this is what I've heard now with Lynn Morgan, they were running out of money, but at least we had the bins. With the free dump day.
Would you like us to address that, or shall I address it, Jim?
Well, what I'd like to do is find out when you have these dump days, like June 15th and August 17th. Why isn't there a schedule to let us know? Yeah, we've got the dump day. Now, I found out because I was reading an email from next door neighbor. There's no publication. There's no schedule. It's kind of like, and in June, there was 8 guys at the dump saying, we haven't had hardly anybody come because there's no notification. Now, maybe it saves the county the dump charge with ACEs, but like for the disabled and elderly to go out there and have to be raking and cleaning the yards and hauling it, I need more than 2 days notice. Now, if you can get this together, I'm wondering why can't we get the dump day? If you had the third Saturday of every month scheduled, you know, a little organization, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, we're just starting. The one thing I can say is we're just starting this last couple months to do all this, and I've been trying to put it out as in information on Facebook, and I've also put it on Nextdoor. I've also posted it down at the IGA store on the wall, but somebody keeps tearing the posters off the wall, and I don't know why they're doing that. I have posted it quite a few mailboxes, trying to get the information out to everybody, especially in, you know, because I'm up in the Pioneer Buckhorn area. I've been trying to get it posted out, but we've been, part of the thing is getting coordination between Pine Grove, because they've been also helping you offload some of the stuff out of your car. So that's one of the biggest things we're trying to do. You know, it's a beginning program. We're just doing that. The biggest reason behind the bins not coming out there is the fact that people were putting trash and everything else in there.
Oh, I know. In fact, I'm sure I'm famous in my neighborhood. There was a guy had a bin put out by ACES personally for his yard cleanup. I thought it was one of the county's bins.
Right.
He came out, and I started telling him, what is all, you know, he said, this is, you know, I've been cleaning up my yard, and I said, obviously your yard is beautiful, but please don't put this wood in here or the trash. And he said, wait a minute, I just paid $300 for the bin. Well, I apologized profusely, but, you know, they see me coming and they're going, this is that crazy woman with the bins, because I'm just about policing them, because one ruins it for all.
I understand. And that's one of the biggest reasons we've had to go to this direction, so that, you know, ACES is actually policing now. They're making sure what's being dumped off is proper. There's somebody watching the stuff being dumped off. And so that's how this is called. And, but the biggest thing is now we're actually being able to do more days. We're able to do more amounts for more people. It isn't just a 40-yard dump. Once it's filled, it's done. We're doing more. We've, you know, in this notification, you'll notice that we have the next bin in September. I misplaced the.
Where is the notification?
It is in our packet, and we're about to put it out. Okay.
If we could either not sure where, because I come to town being disabled once a month. I can't afford the gas to come up and down the hill.
So, Jim, does the Air District Board?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Okay. And that's just that if you made it like every third Saturday, 12 months a year, it's unlikely everybody's going to be as crazy as me wanting to go to the dump, because that's where my first date was with my boyfriend, was let's go to the dump. Yeah. If you don't have the bins, at least have a one day a month.
And we're just starting this, so we're just getting everything going.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing, is we're trying to get organized. We're trying to get it properly set up and get it. We didn't know how many people would actually show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had a million people roll up there, it's done for the year, you know, for the amount of money. So we're trying to spread out the money for enough for everybody to dump their material off.
Well, thank you very much.
Jim, could you, before we leave the subject of pine needles, can you expand a little bit on where we are with the Cini brothers accepting pine needles? I thought that was a big part of the problem. They weren't willing to accept pine needles anymore.
It is. The pine needles, along with all the green waste that's generated in the county, goes to the local green waste facility, which is Vicini Brothers on Willow Creek Road. Well, they got too many pine needles, and it was just more than they could handle. So they had to cut off, no more pine needles. That left the garbage company who does the hauling, ACES, has to take them down to Sacramento. So there is a problem associated with the pine needles themselves because there's just so much of them. So, but we are offering this program, and we did start it in June and in July. And this last one that we just did last Saturday, I was there on Saturday for it. We did advertise on the KVGC radio. We advertised on Amador Community News blog site on the their webpage, and we put signs up on Silver Drive, on Pine Acres and at Mace Meadows where we've had the bins before.
Yeah.
We put physical signs up announcing that these days are occurring. So what I'd like to do is get your email address if you would, and then we can notify you directly.
Word of mouth. It works. Especially for something like
this. And we had a lot more this Saturday as a result of our additional. At 9:30, half an hour into it, we had already had 30 customers with pickup trucks come through.
Yeah.
And they're still helping offload, correct?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They had, ACES was great. They had
awesome.
Had plenty of staff there, and they were fully equipped and ready to go to meet the need.
And one thing is I asked Matt Peterson over 2 years ago. I said, you know, if you've got people throwing trash and lumber and all this in these bins, and they can't be policed. I said, but what about if they put a bin at the dump? They've got three empty bins where you can go pick which one you want to order for your private use, whatever. But if you actually had a bin at the dump, where their empty ones are, you know, you pull in through the gate, you have to unload it yourself, you throw it in the bin and you leave. And it could be monitored that way without having 10,000 bins throughout the county without costing a lot of money. And then this way it's locked up at night, you know, and on Sundays, and you don't have people throwing linoleum and...
Well, the funny thing is you'd be still charged a bin fee, and we're trying to get away from also being charged the bin fee itself, even if it's sitting in their yard. You know, it would be, we'd be charged for the bin. So we're trying to be as economical as possible by dumping out on the days that we're shooting for.
Back in the 80s, when I came back to the States, I was in the Air Force overseas in Germany for 8 years, and when I came back, I couldn't believe the trash and the size of the vehicles here. Over there, I mean, they have it together. And after I did a lot of research and stuff, I opened up a resource recycling, rubber recycling program. I had a 20-acre contract with Sedgwick County. Everybody knew me as the tire lady because they didn't know what to do with a tire, and there's 3 gallons of oil in a tire. In the 80s, oil was cheap. Nobody wanted to get into it. I drive by on 88 there by Defender Grade and see all their tires out there, and I think, and speaking about that guy designing his grinder, I've been to Dallas, I've seen the grinders. I was eating and sleeping tire disposal. Now, the thing is you could sell the tires at the time to Springfield, Missouri, for co-firing with coal.
Yeah, I think
because the tires burn 15 times hotter than coal.
Kind of getting off subject here.
But my point is, with the pine needles being, you know, inundated because we've got the beetles and all this, would it be cheaper if the county actually put in some kind of an incinerator or something that they could co-fire? Look at the long term. Where you could clean the filters, and that would be my suggestion, is because it's only going to cost more and more with fuel and labor and the fact that there's so many pine trees here. You could get rid of a lot of stumps and wood and possibly come up with a way to get some electricity out of it. coal firing it. Anyways, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Chair, I just want to let the board know, I let you know, I need to leave by somewhere 2:15, 2:30. I have a doctor appointment in Sacramento at 3:45.
Alone.
Hello, I'm Ken Wirtz. I'm a never-to-retire general contractor. I'm 71. And I have a 1995 GVWR truck that's 15,000 pounds GVWR. I'm 1,000 pounds over it being exempted, 1,000 pounds GVWR. I have 65,000 miles in the truck. It is not a daily driver until Lawson Trucks sued CARBS and won. I had 5,000 miles a year that I could drive that truck. Now it's 1,000, about 2.5 miles a day. Obviously, that's not going to work. I've run across quite a number of people up here that have lost their trucks that were perfectly functional vehicles due to the CARB lawsuit that Lawson brought against CARBS. I'm attempting, I can re-rate the truck through the DMV, which is done all the time. I can re-rate it to a lower GVWR. They accept that. There's penalties of perjury and $2,000 fine per incident if you're caught outside of those parameters. CARBS, I cannot get a straight answer from them that about re-rating the truck. They say, well, it has to be on the sticker of the door of the truck that comes from the factory. They're re-rated all the time. DMV said so. I've talked to them extensively. I've talked to CARBS extensively as well. And no one can show me, even on the law, the written law, where it says you cannot re-rate it. This puts really extraordinary hardship on me financially. One size doesn't fit all. Lawson benefited dramatically from the law being changed and the reduction of the miles per year that were be allowed to be driven on these trucks. They replace their fleet every 3 to 4 years. They completely write off their vehicles regardless of air quality control standards. They've really obtained an unfair advantage over one truckers. I'm not a trucker. I'm not a hauler. My truck is basically a rolling toolbox. And that's all I use it for. I've never had that truck loaded to 15,000 pounds or anything even close to it. They've benefited dramatically. Basically, what they've done is they've eliminated basically their competition in trucking. All of the small truckers, single truck loan owners and stuff that are losing their trucks, I cannot qualify for a loan for a $3,000 car because I went bankrupt in the last downturn. I lost everything I worked for 45 years in that last downturn, including my house of 35 years. And they've gotten the advantage now. They're the ones that have actually benefited from this with actually no consequences except to all of us small owner operators that have small trucks or even semis. So I can't finance to get a new truck. To replace my truck would cost me $60,000 to buy a new one. I can't qualify for a $3,000 loan. Dumped on what I can do. I make my living what I can. I'm 71, like I said. I can't work like I did before, and I'm starting over as it is. But I know everybody up here that I've met that have lost their vehicles, from drillers to tree trimmers, they've had to sell their equipment at a tremendous loss. The driller up here that I know, he had 4 rigs. He sold them all to Texas for $50,000. That's not even a down payment on his rig, on a new one. A little bit younger than me, but he lost all of that as a result of this. My truck is not a high miler in terms of what I drive every day. I don't. I think there should be exemptions for travesty for people that don't have the means to replace their vehicles at a reasonable cost. I contacted the financiers that's supposed to help. They said, oh, we can't help you. you went bankrupt. So, I'm not the only one. I mean, I've talked to probably 10 or 12 people up here that had the same thing, from Kirst to Jackson Tire. They had to get rid of one of their trucks as well. That was a 2002. Mine's a 1995, and obviously I'm not a daily. But anyway, I don't know if there was a – I would be curious if anybody could locate the law that says I can't re-rate the truck to a lower GVWR. CARB will not answer that question. I've asked them there a dozen times, and I can't get a straight answer out of them. And I cannot locate on the web or anywhere that complete law so that I could even peruse that myself.
Yeah, I passed out this sheet, which just shows this truck and bus regulation that's affecting Mr. Wirtz. And so come January 1st of 2020, your vehicle will not be registered.
No longer be exempt. Right. Until that point, Amador County had a 5,000-mile exemption, which I qualified for, obviously, being up here for almost a decade.
Yeah, so and just so you know, I have heard from others, yourself and at least probably about half a dozen other folks that are in the same position as Mr. Wirtz, and this is a CARB regulation. They're under their authority. I don't, as the local air pollution control officer, I don't have jurisdiction over this, so I can't change it. I know that it's a problem, and I'm thinking at least we may want to think about sending a letter to the executive officer up at CARB and maybe copy our state representatives and explaining to them exactly this situation. I don't know if that's going to do any good, but they do need to hear from us. I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 trucks in our county that fall under this situation that will not be able to be registered come January 1st of 2020, and that's not far away, just a few months.
And Jim, just to be clear, this set of circumstances, if I read you right, doesn't fall within our area of jurisdiction. We permit and regulate stationary sources. CARB regulates mobile sources. Is that right?
That's correct.
So the best we can do as an air district is pass on these concerns and let them know what a major problem it is in our area and implore them to do something about it. And that's what you're suggesting.
That's correct.
I would support that. I think that's a good idea.
Jim, have you got any traction through RCRC talking to anybody there about this?
Yeah, we've brought it up through CAPCOA and through the rural Mountain Counties Air Basin rural group. And so far, CARB seems to be completely and totally inflexible, just like you experienced.
Yeah.
You can't even get word back.
Yeah.
I can't get anything back from them, and we haven't been able to get anything from our organizations either. So, yeah, at this point, I think – you know, probably a letter from this board of directors, maybe signed by the chair, that, you know, explains this situation and see if that helps.
Just a question, Jim, it would seem to me that you say your vehicle's rated at 14, but you don't carry near that weight.
No, I don't.
Couldn't you take it to a certified weighmaster? I know if you build a vehicle from scratch in a car, like a hot rod, you have to take and have it weighed to determine the fees.
Exactly my discovery through the DMV. They actually re-rate vehicles all the time. If you want to haul a 36,000-pound fifth wheel behind your truck, you have to have your truck modified to carry that capacity. And there's no different. And people, the truckers re-rate their vehicles, their trucks, they downrate them as well for insurance purposes and other reasons. I'm definitely aware of it. So I don't see how also the arbitrary 15,000 GVWR eliminates the exemption that I would get if I was at 14,000 pounds. It's like, so where did they come up with that? It's not, I've got 65,000 miles on a 1995 truck. it's obvious that I've not driven it a lot. It is a work vehicle. It's not a daily driver. And I know a lot like Pearson Tree Company, he had to sell his truck. Also, it was old. It's not a daily driver either. The impact it has, and I am for air quality control. I am like adamant about it. I grew up in Southern California, North Hollywood, and my parents moved in 1960 to Thousand Oaks, which had a population of 3,000 people, and you could actually breathe and not have your eyes water 24/7. It was really a gift that my parents gave to me to grow up in an area where it wasn't smoggy. But I mean, this dumbfounds me, actually, that this law passed. I had a 5,000-mile-a-year exemption. Lawson Trucking sued CARB. They lost because CARB was found that it wasn't equitable to large trucking companies, you know, that had to meet the pollution control law that was passed. However, I don't think anything was taken into consideration, the impact it would have on single-owner truck owners that were actually trucking that couldn't replace their vehicles every 3 or 4 years like the big companies do. They upgrade because they have increased beneficial technology on their on the trucks in the industry. It's always doing better. They benefit from that, but they write their trucks off every 3 or 4 years. We're not in a position to do that. I'm surely not. I can't do that. My truck was really expensive when I bought it. It was the last truck I was going to buy. It was totally legal when I purchased it.
Okay, so maybe we could this board.
Yeah, we can do that, and I think we will put in there this idea of re-rating a vehicle. And I think
recognize.
Yeah, ask them to recognize that, because right now I think what CARB's doing is saying, nope, we go by the door tag that states the make and model, year
DVWR,
make and model, and
right.
And the gross vehicle weight. So I think we will definitely put that into the letter too.
And I had my truck weighed when it had two tanks of fuel and completely loaded with tools. It was 10,000 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there has to be some way to adjust to that, the fact that I'm never going to load that truck to 15,000 pounds.
You might want to put in there something about possible extension of time for a year, because nothing happens at the state fast until the rating issue can be discussed and reworked.
Great point. Oh, yeah, anyway, thanks for your recognition of the reality of that as well. Thanks. Thank you all for listening.
I used to own Jackson Tire, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you much.
Anyone else? Hearing none, seeing none. On to administrative matters. Minutes, review and approval of May 21st meeting.
Ask Jim on the on Tim Knox, the City of Amador City representative. Have you had a chance to discuss with them if they've reappointed or if the city have reappointed?
I have. I've contacted them, and he is still the appointed member, even though he's no longer on the council. They told me that they do that because they have so a few folks that are able to participate in a lot of these things. So
I'm sure they could find somebody else who can't make meetings either.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment. This is Herminia. I left the meeting of May 21 to get to another meeting, and unfortunately, I couldn't get my hands on my notes, so I apologize. I don't know exactly where in the meeting I left. I believe it was between after item 4 and before item 5. And I noticed that the vote count changed at that point. We have 9-0 for item 4, 2-6, which is a total of 8 for item 5. And I don't remember the item 5 discussion. So I'm threading together a scenario where I left before item 5. So the minute should be adjusted to reflect that. And also the action for item 5 is missing the vote tally, the yeas and nays, just above the absent line. So it was 2-6, but we don't know who the 2 were and who the 6 were, so that should be added as well. That's all I have. Move to approve the minutes of May 21, 2019 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion by Director Peters, second by Director Crew.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item public hearing for fiscal year 2019-2020 district budget.
Okay, good afternoon, Jim McCargue. This is the budget and the public hearing for the 2019-2020 budget. At the March 21st meeting, the draft budget was presented, reviewed, and staff was directed to schedule the public hearing for today. It was advertised and published with 30 days notice. I wanted to, in my memo, I pointed out a few changes, and the draft budget revenue and expenses were $715,500, and those changed just slightly. The revenue is $716,900, expenses $717,000. The line items that have changed, I have them listed, 5 line items there. Have changed slightly, one from $100 to $250, one from $1,000 to $1,250. The significant one is line 52300, where we had $128,233 has been changed to $28,233, and that's because my costs have been separated out in a new line right below that line. The new line number is 523005. And the costs for my cost to the Air District are shown there. It was requested previously if it could be shown in the salaries section. I was told by the county auditor that we're not allowed to do that because technically I'm not a full-time employee of the Air District. I'm a county employee, and that Air District gets invoiced for my time. And but we did separate it out so that it shows my time separately from professional and specialized services. And then lastly, I've got 3 line items that I wanted to touch upon because these are line items that are a little more related to our local programs here. And line item 54120, and we have $25,000 for our Pine Needle program, and we have $50,000 for the electric vehicle replacement program. And then line item 54712, we have $25,000 for the CCAD, which is the City County Agency Diesel Engine Program. And I know we have representatives from the Water Agency here today that may want to speak on this. And then I also have $25,000 for a wood stove program. Because we have done wood stove programs in the past. They've been successful, so I wanted to at least have some funding there. And then lastly, $25,000 for our pilot electric vehicle charging station. Then the last line is 54715, and we have $200,000. That's that Carl Moyer grant from CARB for a possible school bus replacement. It's not definite that it's going to be a school bus replacement, but I will be meeting with staff from CAPCOA, from the state agency that's kind of the lead on this, and I'll be talking to them about this particular grant.
And that's an electric vehicle, right?
Or electric bus.
Electric bus.
Yeah. And so the last one is the cash reserve. And in 2018, we had $561,988. And this year, going into this fiscal year, we have $506,988. And again, that's a deliberate but very careful use of those reserve funds and putting them back into the communities where they can do some good. And so with that, the recommendation is to accept any public comments on the draft budget and approve by resolution.
certainty that we'll get that school bus, the RAP grant?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Are you certain or somewhat certain we'll get that, the Rural Assistance Program grant?
$200,000, yeah. That is coming to us, yeah.
Jim, I had a question about the same line item. I went back to my May 21 packet and notes, and I couldn't find any discussion of a school bus, and maybe I just missed the discussion altogether. It was, you know, listed as a Carl Moyer grant without any specificity in May when we discussed this in draft form, and then it's turned into a school bus replacement line item in the final version of the budget. And it immediately harkened back to that earlier discussion with the transportation director for the school district. Remember all that? Were you here when he came to the Air District? Does anybody remember that, when the school district transportation director came to us and was looking for money from the Air District to replace our bus fleet because they hadn't been budgeting for bus fleet replacement? And we were appalled as a group that had occurred. So what's this all about?
Oh, well, this is the Carl Moyer State RAP funds, which is the Rural Assistance Program. Now, normally, we designate this $200,000 to CAPCOA, to the State Agency of Air Pollution Control Officers, because these grant programs take a lot of effort, a lot of resources to manage. So under normal circumstances, and we've done this year after year, including last year, these funds, these $200,000, were directed to CAPCOA. CAPCOA had a problem with their staff turnover and with managing their grants, where they weren't able to expend these funds, and they either had to direct them back to us or return them to the state. And so instead of having these funds returned to the state, I agreed to accept the funds back to us here locally to find a project. Now, what CAPCOA has told me is that they have been looking into a school bus replacement. That's why that showed up this time. But I just want to be clear, the school bus is not a definitive project. It's a possible project, a suggested project. There could be another project that we utilize these funds for. I just don't know. And again, I'm meeting with the representative next week. She's coming to my office to meet with me. I'll know more next week. But right now, what we do know is that these funds, this body, Board of Directors, every year directs these up to CAPCOA. They had to send them back to us this year.
What other candidate projects might there be for those Carl Moyer funds?
Do you remember what other ones we had?
Don't know yet. The tricky part about these Carl Moyer programs is that there's a very set, very specific parameter that where these funds can be used. So it's not like we can take the CARB truck implementation of let's spend those $200 and allow us to spend them on helping people with their truck replacements. It doesn't work that way. CARB has a very specific list of projects that they have to apply for, and it has to be met their requirements. And that's the issue with this one right now that we've been dealing with, the $200,000, is that they don't know what kind of projects they want to use it for. The lady at CAPCOA that we've been talking to says, oh, we have some ideas, but nothing has been set in stone to where we have even been able to come up with a list of different type of projects. So right now the best one was the school bus because it would take up the full $200,000.
And by the way, the school bus projects, I think, are high on their priority list. So they frequently use these RAP funds for school bus projects. And so I think that was low-hanging fruit. They said, oh, well, maybe we'll just do a school bus in Amador. But that's just a suggestion. That has not been a decided-upon program. As far as the other programs, I honestly just don't know, because we don't do this grant on a normal circumstance. So this is a special circumstance where these funds were directed back to us and said, okay, here you got them. We'll figure out what to do with them.
Tim, that really should have been a Carl Moyer redirected funds instead of specific to a school bus.
Well, I put possible school bus, so that was the first suggestion that's been presented. But they are Carl Moyer wrap funds, is what they are.
Thank you.
I'd like to open this up for public comment at this time.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Rick Furr with Emmeter Water Agency. I'd like to just briefly touch on the C-CAB program. The agency has benefited in the past. We've gotten $25,000 for generators replacement before, working with Jim and with Matt. I know there's more money in the program as of today. We've got an application in again for another generator for the Ione Water Treatment Plant, which serves about 10,000 people. That generator has been purchased. It's on its way, and we've got an application in. We'd like to have you guys consider our application. It's a great benefit to the county, the residents, and the ratepayers of Emmeter Water Agency. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
What's the price that generator that you got ordered roughly?
Just the material price is $75,000. So it'll be about $130,000 with install. So $75,000. It's a 250 kW generator. We'll run the complete water treatment plant, which also serves Mule Creek Prison and the city. I mean,
put any money towards it?
I'm sorry?
Did Mule Creek put any money towards it?
No.
Ask him?
Not yet.
Wouldn't hurt. I mean, I'm sure you'd get nowhere, but it wouldn't hurt.
They put a lot of money into the treatment plant in the beginning. So the pump station, everything, there was a lot of funding by the state in the beginning, but I have not gone down that road with them at this point.
That water in your reservoir up there, Tanner Reservoir or whatever, how long did that last for?
Oh, that's less than a day. That up there at the Tanner Reservoir, the raw water bowl, less than a day.
At the gravity flow will work without power, won't it?
I'm sorry?
ESL will work without power, too, won't it?
ESL? Yes. You've got a pump station up at the top. The gravity supply line comes from the regulator. It's pumped in, so there is power needed at the other end to feed the GSL.
But the Buckhorn treatment plant needs water.
Power.
Needs power, and then it pumps up the hill, like to myself.
Correct. Topology-wise, we're in the hills, so we've got a lot of pumping and gravity and a lot of pumping and gravity, but the GSL is mostly gravity line once it gets in the water. The water gets in the pipe.
So, do you know if Mule Creek has water storage?
They do. They've got, I believe, over a couple million gallons. I think they have three tanks.
And if you guys don't run, they're probably not going to care for a while, realistically.
I'm not sure how long that'll last. There's, I think, 4,000 residents there or prisoners in that prison, so that I think it probably last a day or two. I'm not sure what the calculations are. Conservation would probably have to be put in place. So with one of the issues is the PG&E PSPS program, where they're going to be shutting down not only the transmission but the grid side of it with distribution side. So we are getting notified, we're getting prepared, and this is one of those items that we have identified where historically we have not needed to standby generator. This area now, it looks like it's going to happen, and we need to have be prepared for that. So we've purchased it, looking for some funding from Air District in this program.
And also, I suggest talking to Mule Creek. They have an obligation to those prisoners, so it might behoove them to help you a little too.
We will touch on that with them.
Jim, our program, our CC80 program, is designed to replace older non-compliant equipment. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is that what we're doing? And is that what the request is for the water agency?
I haven't seen this request, but can you speak to what
you're correct.
Doing?
Yeah, there's a 200. There's an old CAT 200 kW generator that does not run anymore at all. Very old. I'm not sure what the age is, but
why does it run?
I'm sorry.
Why does it not run? You know.
It has got a lot of electrical problems. It smokes. It's It's my understanding it is dangerous and it has been decommissioned. It's going to be removed from the building and we're going to replace it. It's 1980 or earlier. Been around for a long time.
I just wanted to add that originally when we started this program, we did do grants of $25,000. The following year, we changed it to grants of $10,000, and that's the last program that we did. This year, I have allocated $25,000, and my thought was is that we would put $5,000 towards each of five projects for a total of $25,000. Now, unfortunately, the water agency got the paperwork, and it was still from the previous incarnation of this program where it said $10,000. So I think you were thinking it was $10,000. Like I said, we hadn't set on exactly what the grants were, but my thought was $5,000, although if this board felt the need to go at $10,000. We could do that, but right now I have it at $5,000.
Or we could do $5,000 initially, and if there are no other applications for the remaining money and we have some left over at the end, we can devote additional revenue to this particular application.
To this project? Well, we could do that.
Agency will appreciate $5,000 or $10,000, whatever we're given. All helps.
What about that school bus money? Is that Carl Moyer program only $200,000?
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be really strict. A lot of strings attached to it. And, that wouldn't be applicable in this type of program. And, by the way, I wanted to mention on that $200,000 on Carl Moyer, what I'd like to do is make sure that as you approve this budget today that I will commit to you, I will bring back whatever project we have for that $200,000 for approval by the board before we move forward.
And I would appreciate a range of options.
Okay.
If in fact you've identified a range of options, rather than bringing us one that says we think the school bus is the way to go, I'd rather know what you ruled out to get there.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
None. Seeing none.
Close the public hearing.
Second.
Close and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Comments? Okay, next item.
I will approve the budget by resolution.
I'd move the resolution approving the fiscal year 1920 final budget for the Amador Air District with the thought that the CCAD program will have that under $5,000 apportionments for grants, and if no one takes out the full amount, then the water agency would be entitled to it for their generator.
Second.
Yeah. Under discussion, I'd like to see that made the $5,000 maybe a little higher. Project I know I was looking at, I think it might be higher than $5,000. Possibly, I'd like to see it possibly make that $10,000. That gives a little more discretion.
I'm okay with that.
I don't understand the motion now. Yeah. Let's try that again.
Yeah. Change it for rather than being a $5,000 cap, it's $10,000. And the motion, Baker is okay with the motion. The second is okay with the motion. So I think just with those changes.
Yeah,
still under discussion.
Back to last year was $10,000.
But we only have $25,000 to work with, so. Now we're only talking about 2.5 projects.
Or $50,000.
$25,000.
$25,000 is what we have right now.
$10,000 a pop, it's not going to go very far.
2.5, yeah. 2.5 projects at $10,000. However, the wood stove program, I've got $25,000 there as a potential program. If it were the wish of this board, we could fold that money into the CCAD and hold off on a wood stove program.
Pretty popular program. I hate to see it.
Didn't we spend all the money last year
we
on
have.
The wood stove program?
Yeah.
I mean, that attests to its popularity.
Yeah.
under discussion. One thing I will say, though, I'm just thinking about it. The wood stove program, generally, it may benefit the public as a whole by cleaning up a little bit of air in one wood stove. I mean, one fire wipes out a million of those. Big fire. The CCAD program benefits public agencies. So probably benefits the public as a whole more so.
You don't want Mule Creek running out of water, so that generator. Prisoners know when they have no water.
Imagine. And so, I mean, maybe possibly, I would think I'd be in favor of, I don't know, program. I'm not saying I'm against the wood stove program necessarily, but I think your public benefit might be a lot better, a lot bigger under the CCAD.
Jim, how many applications in the CCAD?
Last time we did it, we expended all the funds, so we had probably, I forget how many, wasn't there about 12 or 15 on that sheet?
CCAD.
CCAD.
We had, I believe, one in each of the cities.
Uh-huh.
Our water agency did one first round, and then they did the second round.
Public Works, yeah, so we.
My point is, they're both pretty popular programs.
Yeah.
What if we just went, Robin, went to 30,000 and left 20 in the wood stove? So we could. Without canning the wood stove.
I would recommend instead notifying the public agencies of the availability of funds again, find out how many are interested. And decide we can do a budget amendment at any time in the future and adjust those numbers up or down if we have high demand for one or the other of the programs. Why don't we stick with $5,000, look for interest, and adjust upward if we need to fund more projects or more heavily fund certain projects.
So you're suggesting on a budget amendment?
Adjust based on demand.
Yeah. Yeah, we got.
I just didn't want to scrap.
Is it my understanding this fund would be part of the coming out, if we increase it, coming out of the 506,988 cash reserves?
No, it's not coming. This is part of our budgeted based upon revenues that we have. So, with what we have on our budget right now, we will carry 506,988 and keep that in reserves.
We increase this from 25 to 50. Where would that money come from?
Well, we either take it from the wood stove as being discussed here, or if what you're saying is would we draw upon cash reserves, that would be the have to be the will of the board.
Yeah, and it was the will of this board to try to get those cash reserves down because we were carrying way too many.
Only to a point, though. We do have a reserve policy, right?
Yes.
So we've got to keep one eye on the reserve policy and make sure that we don't drop below what we've established as appropriate for our organization. So.
That's right.
The motion then is to approve the resolution, but leaving not amending it and letting the board have the choice in the future to move money around through budget amendments.
Yes.
I have a second from Director, or first from Director Forrester, a second from Director Crew. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm a vote nay.
I have one comment in regards to cash reserves. I thought the discussion in the past was not a question of going below a certain point, but not going above it, because we were carrying too much cash reserves just several years ago.
I think we're trying to reduce them, but I don't know if I'd say we couldn't go above it. I mean.
We did set a policy on utilization of the cash reserves, and we did set a low and a high. So we wanted to make sure we didn't go below a certain amount, and we wanted to make sure we didn't go above a certain amount. So we set a range. I don't have it right off the top of my head, but we did address that a couple years ago.
Get back to us next meeting.
I will, certainly.
Jim, comment, maybe this might ease your guys' mind. The state offers a wood stove change-out program. Last year, we did get a grant for $100,000. It was run by El Dorado County. Very successful program where uh, 25-30 participants, residents in the Amador County, low income, got a wood stove free of charge. And that money came out of the state. So there is grants out there from the state that Amador County, that Amador Air District did receive last year.
Those were specifically for low income?
It was specifically for low income. The lower income got a bigger grant amount, but they did open it up to anybody that was that submitted their application. The grants went from anywhere from $300 to $500 grants to $3,000 to $6,000 grants.
Okay, next item, public hearing for updated. We did.
Yeah.
Public hearing for updated non-attainment new source rule, NSR rule 400.
Okay, and so this is public hearing for the updated non-attainment new source rule. At our June 19th, 2018 meeting, the board of directors approve the new source rule, rule number 400, for the 2015 non-attainment designation. However, the resolution approving NSR 400 lacked specific language that became necessary after the fact. This has been corrected in the attached resolution. So because Amador was classified as attainment in 2008, the U.S. EPA revoked the 1997 standard for which Amador was non-attainment, thus relieving, not reliving, there was a spelling error there, thus relieving Amador of the NSR requirement. Since then, the U.S. EPA lost a lawsuit regarding the non-attainment areas and the NSR requirement. This resulted in Amador needing a resolution that specifically states that the NSR rule number 400 is applicable and satisfies both the 1997 and 2015 ozone standard non-attainment requirements. So that's what this is. This is really a formality that the state came back to us after the fact. We already have this rule. As a matter of fact, this rule hasn't changed substantively at all. All its changes is the fact that we're calling out in the resolution that it's applicable to 1997. And I do have Mr. Ray Kapai here. He had helped originally last year with us coming up with this new source rule. And by the way, we were going to also have a public hearing on the emergency episode plan. But at the last minute, EPA told us we had to pull it, and so that's why Mr. Kapai was here today. He was going to help us speak to both of these items, but we are going to take up the emergency episode plan next meeting. But for this meeting, we're doing the new source rule.
Chairman, I have a question about the resolution. Second whereas paragraph, Jim, I read this four times before I think I figured out what's wrong with it. Should the, in the very last sentence of the second whereas paragraph, should 2008 actually read 2015? The reason I say that is because earlier in the paragraph it says Amador County was classified as attaining the 2008 ozone standard. And the last sentence says Amador County was classified non-attainment for the 2008 standard.
Yeah, I think...
I think it should be 2015 in the last sentence.
I believe you're absolutely right. And I think, Herminia, didn't this come up before? Couldn't we change this? Remember?
remember having the conversation with you.
Yeah.
Might have changed it in the one that the one that's on the computer and not the one that got published.
Oh, okay. So that very question you raised, I brought it up also because you're right. We were in attainment in 2008, and so that was changed from 2008 to 2015, and it needs to be changed.
Thank you.
Public comment at this time? Back for...
Second.
By Director Onetto, second by Director Crew to public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Move to approve the resolution 19-07, adopting a non-attainment source rule, non-attainment new source rule program for Ozone Rule 400 as amended.
Second.
Motion by Director Peters to approve and a second.
Aye.
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 Aye. Item.
Okay. And by the way, we'll get that corrected on the resolution and then we'll get the chairman's signature on that. So for I can move through this pretty quickly. I spoke already to the Ozone Emergency Episode Plan. Again, Mr. Kapai has helped us develop this. This was submitted to both US EPA and CARB. We were told to do public noticing, which we did. However, at the last minute, they advised us to pull it from this agenda, redo the public noticing, and then have board approval of this emergency episode plan at our October 15th meeting. So we will do that.
Would it be appropriate, even though you're going to pull it from the agenda, would it be appropriate to take one comment on on a sentence in here that I think is problematic?
Sure.
It's the very last sentence on the very last page.
Okay.
What it says is the implementation of the plan shall prevent the ambient ozone concentration from reaching the harmful level. And I don't think we can say that. We can strive to prevent it. Implementation may, you know, go a long way toward preventing it, but at some level we may not be able to prevent it. So I'd have another look at that sentence and give it some wiggle room. Yeah,
sure.
we hope it will prevent, something to that effect. Thanks.
Sure. Okay, so moving along, you have in there a copy of the sign-in sheet for the workshop we had here locally, Wildfire Smoke Impacts to Health and Messaging Workshop. We had a very good turnout, public health folks, emergency Office of Emergency Services, some folks from the state, from CARB, and from Fire Protection District, Sierra Pacific Industries. So you can see we had two board members from County Board of Supervisors. I had a really good discussion and good planning and preparation for what we hope doesn't happen, which is one of those wildfires. But we had a good workshop nonetheless. The next item is the free disposal of pine needles. We've discussed that already. September 21st is our next date for that. And let's see. Vicini Brothers Green Waste Recycling Facility Ad Hoc Committee. We have met as an ad hoc committee. We're waiting for some information back from the Vicinis before we're able to proceed any further. Once we get that, we will bring that information back in front of the full board of directors. Electric vehicle charging stations, that program continues. And then lastly is the financials, as usual, in your packet. Then the last thing is the correspondence, and that's a letter from the Woodland Road Association.
Being adjourned.
Thank you.